meet some criteria and be monitored and actually produce output that will be in the name of the in the furtherance of the mission. And so those are the two philosophical differences I see. And of those two philosophical differences, the model where members are decided upon their work commitment alleviates a lot of the other aspects that we're going to have a lot of contentions with. Because as long as we have elections for people who just to get on the local station boards, you're going to have contention and friction. But if you philosophically say that people who sit on station boards should be actively working on a weekly, daily, or whatever consistent basis to do specific things to aid the stations, whether it be needs assessment, whether it be program issues, whether it be financial oversight, whether it be whatever outreach, whatever activities that are important, that's where we really need to focus, because that's what I see is lacking in the day-to-day relationship between the stations and the people.
Okay.
And I want to create a document that fosters and institutionalizes the idea that people really need to be working with the management, with the staff, to affect real things and not just hypothetical battles over who gets to tell somebody what to do, which is where I see it going.
It seems to me there are two issues that you're raising at the core of it. One is the definition of membership. How are we defining what a member is? The other is whether or not boards are elected.
Right.
Right. Those are the two central issues I'm hearing in what you're saying. So can we have people speak to those two central issues?
Carol? We did a straw poll already about this issue. I think that the debate over whether or not we will have elected local boards or some kind of self-selecting mechanism where there are some criteria and people who sit on the boards choose others to sit on them through some mechanism that isn't defined by elections, so it's defined by some other process. That's something that I think as set of five bylaws committees over the past 9 months has really been decided. We actually settled the lawsuits with an agreement to elect local boards based on the KPFA model as a starting point and modifying it as needed. So I don't really want to go back and begin the debate about whether or not we're going to have a membership that elects local boards at this point. I think we decided that over a year ago as part of the legal settlement. And that, yeah, I know that there are some people around who are very uncomfortable with it. I know some of them, and some of them are close friends of mine, but we've made that decision, and I think we need to move forward.
Well, let's just hear from just now. I'm going to let her speak only because she didn't speak yesterday. I'm not opening up the floodgates here. Okay? You know what I mean? I'm kind of saying it harshly, but we're just going to hear just a very short.
I mean, the issue is what constitutes a member.
I'm sorry, identify yourself so people know.
Oh, I'm sorry. My name is Karabia Rayford. I'm the local advisory board, WPFWDC. I think the main issue is what constitutes a member. Because in the past, there have been listener sponsors and then members. And there was
members.
Okay. But there is a demarcation between listener sponsors and members. And in this document, it says listener sponsor members. So I just wanted to say that in terms of what Jabari is saying, there has to be, he's saying that members can be identified by the activities that they engage in. And a huge part of the issue for me is, and this is in terms of the caucus model, the Unity Caucus, all of them, is that the people who are members of the station should be, in some way or another, doing work that promotes, enhances, or furthers the Pacifica mission. Mm-hmm. Because we can bring all kinds of people together for all kinds of agendas, and they will be coming together to promote their agenda, but it does not have to be in line with the Pacifica mission. So for me, the other issue is, how do you monitor that? How do you measure that? And so I'm suggesting that the executive director, the general manager, and all of these people should, when they come on board, first of all, that there should be mission statements, that they understand what the Pacifica mission is, because we assume that people understand it as it applies to daily working. But that is a very wrong assumption in many cases, that they should have, and we should have in their words, in their understanding, talking with them, what the Pacifica mission's mission is. And secondly, that there needs to be leadership from the highest levels of Pacifica, as buttressed by the local advisory boards and et cetera, whereby say that there's a goal set. You set a goal, you either plan to fail. So I'm saying that we make the plan, that we set a course, a set a goal that the executive director, local station boards, national boards come together and say, this is what we will be working on for 1 year. We'll be working on this for 1 year. This is what we're about. It can be tweaked for the individual boards. And yes, and as a result, the people who are coming on understand that this is something that we will be doing. This is what we're working on for 1 year. You evaluate it every 3 months or something, so that everybody knows that this is the work that we are doing. Because we can define ourselves philosophically about what we're actually doing, and I think that's a big part of what he's saying.
Okay, folks, I want to suggest that we try and settle on this election question. That it was raised again, even though, you know, this has been in discussion for at least a year, for several years now, but since Jabari put it on the table again about our approach to this, our orientation to this, whether or not we want the local boards elected, I think we need to just settle this.
All right.
Right, and then move back to the membership, the definition of membership. Is that okay? I mean, okay, right. Okay, so.
So moved. That local board's be elected, no?
Yeah.
For a straw poll, we're doing a straw poll.
Oh, sorry, never mind.
Not adopting bylaws.
Right, we're not adopting bylaws, but we are getting a sense of this. This is somewhere. In my mind, I'm thinking of this. I know this isn't quite Robert's Rules of Order, but somewhere between a straw poll and a binding vote, we need to be clear about our thoughts and feelings and commitment to elections or not elections.
Okay.
Right? It's not so that we don't have to, the next time we gather, approach this question again. We need to settle this question about whether or not we're going to have elections. Whatever the details of the elections
and
are.
Let me just explain how it came to my mind, because I was like everybody else. The assumption was that you would have elections, but this issue came up. It wasn't even raised by me in our board meeting. But when I first heard it, I kind of was like, okay, but you have to have elections. But it gets to the real core of how this thing will operate on the ground level, not on the paper level, not in the theoretical level, but on
right.
the ground level. And the basic concept is this, is that if at the level that's most attached to the workings of the station, okay, because, again, the foundation is supposed to be more than just the stations, too. The foundation is supposed to be a lot more than just radio operations. But for those people who want to be attached to the operational aspects and issues of their stations, I think it is, as history has shown, if we create a model that is totally inclusive, it is not artificially bounded by a finite number of slots where you would automatically create friction to get these slots, where you would automatically have to do everything that is the worst aspects of the non-democratic voting system of this country, where you have to campaign, you have to get people to vote for you, you have issues of financing, who gets access to the air. Once you say elections, you bring all of that hubris with the process. And you're not guaranteeing that you're going to get people who are going to actually work for the mission. All you're going to do is get people who want to sit on the board. But if you define a system based on the fundamental organic core of what we say we want to be about, whereas, look, Pacifica is about bringing together people who see the as their focal interest, the accomplishment and the achievement of mission-based goals based on their demonstrable work ethic and ability to work with other people. You eliminate not only a lot of these amendments that we would have to fight over, elections, bylaws, campaign issues, how many, frequency of this, recall, all of that stuff. But you actually get to creating a structure where people now are evaluated and judged on what they are doing to fulfill the mission. And okay. So I don't know all the details, but I'm saying that it struck me. And when I started just thinking about it, I'm saying, yeah, that's actually a more philosophically consistent goal. Now, I'm not saying I know all the details, but I'm saying from just a philosophical purity point of view, I think that just resonated with me on a purity level, that would eliminate all of this mechanism that is only going to be filled with strife. It's going to cost us money. We're going to spend most of the time in these election cycles and not really being focused on people going to meetings to do needs assessment, programming issues, blah, 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 blah. So on that level, it resonated with me. And the more I think about it, the more we're going to sit here and decide all these issues of who gets to be and who doesn't get to be, that really starts to resonate with me even stronger. And okay. So that's where it came from me, and that's what the genesis is. And that's why I think we really need to come to a view right now before we put in concrete that we're going to bring all of this hubris into our process and not even guarantee or even come close to guaranteeing that the actual mission will be accomplished by creating this structure. So that's my major concern, that we'll go through this process, we'll create all this stuff, and we'll just have what we had before, people fighting it on the LEBs and really not concerned with doing stuff at the station with the people and fulfilling the mission.
Okay. So I think you've made that case very clearly. But we still are at, I still think we need to settle this. Right. So the motion, I'm not even sure who made it at this point. David.
I would like to hear other people's comments either way.
What?
Because
let me just do this. I want to know who wants to speak on this issue on the board. Right now, you have to tell me if you want to speak on elections or not elections.
I just want to vote in support
right,
of elections.
Right, on the board. What?
I just want to vote in support of elections.
Right, that's fine. I want to know who wants to speak about it. Ray, Janice, Rob, James, and George. Can I ask you to each take no more than 1 minute? Okay? Okay, so I'm just going to go around. Okay, Ray, Janice.
Yes, good morning. I mean, many of the points made by Jabari are correct. However, I think the election gives us a chance to meet each other. It's a special period of activity and to debate things in a focused fashion that in a way that would not occur otherwise. And we can improve on the scenario that you described and do it above board. And I think overall it would be a positive experience. And it has never happened before. And it gives the public a voice.
Okay. I missed part of Jabari's presentation, but I do want to say that I agree with him about the part about folks, whoever's running needs or doing anything needs to establish some kind of organic link to Pacifica, but I'm not sure how that's going to be done. It sounds like a catch-22 situation. You're saying they shouldn't run unless they're already involved with the station, and I just don't understand how that'll happen. But I'm not going to be involved with anything that doesn't have a recall procedure in it. I'm really not.
Okay, Rob.
I think that the thing about this is we're involved in an evolutionary procedure right now. We have not had good institutions of government and governance. Our boards have not been good fiduciary trustees of the foundation, and we really haven't made it possible for our labs to operate in close conjunction with the stations. Now we're going to have elections. We're going to evolve to that. Maybe they're going to produce wonderful results. Maybe they're going to produce unanticipated consequences. We don't know. In many of the things that you say, Jabari, I would like to see our local station boards evolve that way, but I don't think we can necessarily legislate immediately how that's going to happen. We don't know what's going to happen next as it is. Mm-hmm. If there's a way for you to develop some language that will talk about how we develop in the future or what standards we should have for lab roles and relationships and interaction with station management, that might be helpful. But right now, we're in the process of evolving through elections, and I think what you're talking about is something that we want to keep our eye on and see evolve from that point. But I don't know how we can overcome the issue that we must comply with the election process now.
Okay. James?
Yeah, thanks. James Ferguson. I'm posed the question, are we bound by the settlement agreement to have elections, number one. Mm-hmm. And number two, I heard your points, Jabari. I just don't see how. I can't conceptualize
right.
what you're talking about.
Right.
And that's the problem I'm having. If I can conceptualize it in terms of what would constitute a member under your plan and how that member would be different from someone who would be elected, I just can't conceptualize it. That's my problem.
Okay, George.
It's George Barnstein, Houston. Jabari, I think that's the most intelligent thing any of us has come up with yet. I'm sorry you come up. I'm sorry I'm only hearing this or I'm hearing
late.
It at the very last second. I think that we are bound, from what I understand, Carol can confirm, we have to have elections. But your idea is that, you know, if you're going to do that, if you want to volunteer at the station, then you can become a member on this board. You can't just be an outsider who says, "Oh, I think I'm going to get involved." That's a great idea. I like it a lot. Too late, you know. I'm sorry. I don't think we can do it by virtue of our settlement. But it's a great idea.
Okay, I think we need to vote on this. Again, I'm not sure if anybody actually made a motion. David seconded something.
No, I didn't second. I said so moved. I was saying let's move along.
Okay.
I was just trying to, you know.
Okay, sorry, I misunderstood. Move. Can somebody put this in the form of a motion that we can vote on?
All right, I'll try. I move that we... that we approve... by straw poll vote that our local boards will be elected by the station membership and that we then move to defining the membership once again as we've done before.
Second.
Okay, I'm going to move right to the vote then.
Point of information.
Yeah.
Are we voting for election? I'm sorry.
James Ferguson. Are we voting for elections?
Electing the local station boards, yes, by the foundation membership.
Okay.
Right, which of course leaves open the definition.
It's not, Jabari. The membership is defined. We have sections, Article 3, Sections A and B and C that define the membership. We can go back and redefine it again. But those would be the people who would be entitled to vote.
What we're voting for, my understanding of this, is we're voting to recommit ourselves to have an election process.
Right.
In order to establish the local boards.
Right. Right. And that, how we. Right.
Right. That's all we're voting on right now. Is there a commitment to having an election process to elect those station boards?
Okay.
All in favor, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. And all opposed? 1. Okay. So now. So this came up as we were in the middle of the discussion about the recall, right? We were on page 4.
Yeah,
so can we go back to that?
Okay. There. We simply now want to agree on whether or not we will have the language that says the listener sponsor members shall have the right to remove any delegate elected by them and any director elected by the delegates from the radio station area in the manner provided in Article 5 of these bylaws and consistent with the provisions of Section 5222 of the California Corporations Code. Similarly, for staff members, it will read, they shall have the right to remove any delegate elected by them and any director elected by the delegates from the radio station area in the manner provided in Article 5, et cetera, et cetera.
Leslie?
Yes.
Before you get rolling, we had, I thought, decided that we would go back and define member.
Oh, okay. You want
that and
first.
I think that at this point, especially after what Jabari was saying,
okay,
that is important that we do.
Okay. So I'm sorry, you're right. Let's go then. Then we're going to the beginning
the
of Article 3.
Page.
Yeah, beginning of Article 3.
Okay.
Page 3.
All right. Okay. It reads, there shall be two classes of members, A, listener-sponsor members, and B, staff members. This is Article 3, Section 1, and they are defined as follows. Listener-sponsor members shall be any natural persons who within the preceding 12-month period, one, have contributed a minimum, $25 donation to any Pacifica radio station or such minimum amount as the Board of Directors may from time to time decide, or two, have volunteered a minimum of 3 hours' work to pay any Pacifica radio station. Staff members, Section B, staff members shall be one, any non-management permanent paid employee of a Pacifica radio station, or two, any unpaid worker or volunteer who has worked for any Pacifica radio station at least 15 hours in the preceding 3 months, or at least 30 hours in the preceding year. And then the third point, C, deals with single membership, that people may not vote in multiple signal areas. And it reads, membership shall be determined by radio station area, and each Pacifica Foundation radio station shall maintain a register of its listener sponsor members and staff members. In the event that a person qualifies for membership in more than one radio station area, he or she shall be entitled to only one membership and shall notify the foundation of which radio station area she or he wishes to be a member of. In the event that a person qualifies both as a listener-sponsor member and as a staff member, such person shall be deemed as a staff member.
Leslie?
Okay. I'm sorry, yes. The last point there is waiving the requirements or waiver of requirements, and it reads, a local station board may choose to waive the gift requirement for listener-sponsor membership for reasons of financial hardship for anyone who, due to incarceration or disability, cannot volunteer his or her time. And I did make a recommendation there, Leslie, that I'll just touch on briefly. I think we may want to make that more flexible and simply indicate in the language that the local station boards may choose to waive the gift or volunteer requirement for membership by making a determination of hardship where the proposed member has demonstrated an interest in becoming a member. In other words, if somebody is making payments at a rate of $2.50 a month and that's the best they can do, but they're doing it, if you've got someone that's incarcerated but that is writing in and is working to support the station, the local station board should be able to make a hardship waiver that says this person has clearly become a member of the Pacific family, their member.
Okay, I saw James, and then David, and then Jabari.
As it relates to the single membership C under Section 1, it would seem to me that that would be more, make more sense if it was a subset of A. Because it seems to me that I'm trying to figure out what the difference is between listener-sponsored members and then single membership.
Okay, just so,
on that point, it's possible, for instance, I send money to more than one station, so it's to clarify that I can't vote for the local station boards. I have to choose which one. I think the reason why it's in a separate section on its own is because it says if I were a staff member who also contributed, let's say, I would be qualified to be a staff member and a listener sponsor member. So and in that situation, you're deemed to be a staff member. So by putting those two things in one section, you deal with them in the same section. Do you see why they're together?
Shouldn't it be in two sections then?
Well, you could put the first sentence under the A listener sponsors membership, saying you can only vote in one station area, and under the staff members, you could say if you qualify as a listener sponsor member and a staff member, you're deemed to be a staff member.
Can I just make a recommendation here that we not get into that what we need is the substance content, that we not so much worry today about the order, what paragraph something is in.
Well, it just seemed to me that was a part of the listener sponsored members.
Right. I'm just concerned that we're not going to get through the everything here.
Okay.
So I had David next, and then Jabari, and then Janice.
Yeah, hi. Dave Furtick from KPFK. In my view, the purpose of membership, of sponsor membership of the corporation is for accountability. And as I mentioned yesterday, the board is accountable, the elected people are accountable, the employees are accountable, and the listeners need to be accountable. And clearly, or at least to me, it's clear that we want members who have demonstrated a commitment to the goals of Pacifica. How is that demonstrated? I think is an issue that arises. And, of course, we've agreed, or it seems as though many have agreed, that paying a membership dues is one way. Giving time to the station is another. But in any case, relative to whether people are using the waiver or not, how do we ascertain that, A, they have a demonstrated commitment, and, B, that they recognize that and that they are committed, that they acknowledge the existence of it? I know that one or two earlier drafts had posed a rather problematic sort of a check-off thing, saying, I hereby acknowledge the mission of Pacifica. And it certainly smells like a loyalty oath kind of thing, and there's a repulsion to that, and naturally so. Nonetheless, some kind of acknowledgement that, yeah, this is the mission, and I'm not going to, you know, and I agree that this is a mission, I acknowledge it. I don't have to say that I hereby swear allegiance to it, I mean, but at least I recognize that my purpose of membership here is to promote the mission, and you know, Article 2 and so forth. I don't know how to do that. I think that people can talk a good game, and we know a lot of good people that can talk rhetoric, but conduct and practice, it counts. And I don't know how we keep the listeners. I know how to keep the board accountable. We got recall. I know how to keep staff accountable. We got procedures. How do we keep the listeners accountable? And that's a sticky wicket here.
Okay, Jabari, and then Janice, and then Carol.
Okay. I have basically 2 points. And they might seem subtle, but they're very important. In the fabric of bylaws, okay, Article 3 says members of the foundation, okay, and then Section 1 says defined. But I learned way back in elementary school, whenever you define something, you can't use the word that you're defining in the definition of the word, okay. So, what this article doesn't do is define what a member is. It starts talking about classes of people who can be members, but it doesn't discuss what a member is. Because what it discusses is how people who are in relationship to the stations can become members. But, you know, from the point of view of the foundation, there may be people who want to produce an arts show or do hold seminars on conflict resolution or be engaged in other activities that have nothing to do with radio but have everything to do with the fulfillment of the Pacifica mission. And what is being lost in this definition is the acknowledgement that we as a foundation really are supposed to be more than just a radio network, and that people can and should be allowed to be considered members of the foundation if they want to engage in mission-based activities that aren't related specifically right now to radio. We need to create a
point of information. We just talked about how you said they need to establish an organic link with the foundation.
Right, but what I'm trying to say vis-a-vis the definition of a member, what is a member vis-a-vis a foundation member, not station member, but what is a member in relationship to the Pacifica Foundation?
Point of information.
Yes.
The Corporation Codes of California define that clearly, that simply a person given the power, for example, to vote on amendment of bylaws.
But that needs to be stated. That needs to be stated what a member is. That's exactly what I'm talking about.
Well, and then
how many classes of membership come after you have established? A member is a person who has the authority, right, or power to do A, B, C, D, E, F, G.
That is in Section 2. We can change the order of the thing. Section 2 are the rights. Okay, Janice was next.
I want to address about staff members. I can't even remember all the details about the NLRB decision at WBAI about the difference between the unpaid staff and paid staff. But generally, we have, since I've been there, we have sort of like the criteria that a person is an unpaid staff member if they spend 20 hours a month doing things for the station. And there needs to be, I think, a higher bar for staff members than 15 hours in the preceding 3 months. Mm-hmm. So I'd like to suggest that we change the language there, because a volunteer is someone who, like, comes into the tally room and answers phones or packs the mail or whatever. And this is not to denigrate the volunteerism, but a staff member, at least at WBAI, gets different, is dealt with differently.
Okay.
I actually put that language in there based on how one becomes a member of the unpaid staff organization at KPFA. And there, in order to be a voting member of the unpaid staff organization at KPFA, their requirements are 15 hours in the preceding 3 months or at least 30 hours in the preceding year. The reason they do it is because there are some people who will work on a project, a special project, for a couple of months, and then the program is off the air, and then they come back later and do another special production, and they consider them to be unpaid staff at KPFA.
Well, it makes a difference to us because it has to do with union stuff. So
this has nothing to do with union. This has to do with writing.
But the
voting
for the term, though.
This is this is the definition of a staff member for voting purposes in Pacifica.
But if it's in the bylaws, is there a way we can do it so that, I don't know.
Okay, folks, there's a difference here, I'm hearing, right? One person suggests that the bar be set higher. One person is saying that we should leave it as the language is here. I think everybody agrees there has to be some standard, right? That we need to have some minimum number of hours of work, right?
Right.
To define as a staff member. The question is, what is that minimum number? Serene, did you want to add just a very quick point on this?
For a WBAI, the definition is 10 hours per month or 20 hours within a 2-month period. Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
And it must be on an ongoing basis, so that someone who comes in, we can have someone qualify under that definition. Who comes in and does 2 days in tally, because we do have people who will come in and spend 2 entire days with us. They would not qualify under our definition, our contract definition, for unpaid staff. Mm-hmm. While their work is very valuable and we're very attached to many of them, they're not unpaid staff.
Right.
So we would ask for a clearer definition than that. Otherwise, it really leaves it wide open.
Yeah.
Right. So okay, I thought it was 20 hours.
It's
10 and 20 every 2 months. Okay.
I think that point is important because you cannot, on the one hand, say that we recognize the right of people to engage in union activity, and on the other hand, have a definition that violates the very nature of the contract with the union.
Also, we do want to encourage volunteers to put in more volunteer time and to maintain their relationship to the station as volunteers. So maybe that needs more work.
What about 10 hours a month?
Do we have to settle this right now?
No, we have to look into it.
I think we can do some more back and forth.
Hi, this is Dan Collins.
Okay, go on, Dan.
Just real quickly also, one thing that has come up, especially this year with the National Days of Fundraising, has been quite a number of supporters in non-signal areas and with the development of the net and web radio. And that is now verging, I think, in at least the hundreds of people who have given to Pacifica or Pacifica Station at some point in time who are not necessarily a resident of a signal area.
Well, Dan, one of the things that Pacifica should do when it gets those contributions is in a standard letter acknowledging the contribution say, you may elect, you know, to be a member, to exercise membership voting rights, you know, if your contribution goes towards a particular signal area.
No. Well, sorry, hold on one second. in 5 minutes or so, we're going to have to take just a short break to change the CD. So I think Dan is suggesting, are you suggesting, Dan, that we may need another category that people could vote as Internet listeners? Or
a qualifier in C, single membership, that recognizes the possibility of substantial numbers of listener supporters who are not in a particular signal area and what we do with those listener supporters.
Okay, can I suggest, though, that for purposes of the bylaws, that we have to be clear and specific? So we can't say there might be some situation that comes up later that we'll have to deal with. Yeah, Carol.
Internet listeners, you're saying they're listening on the Internet, not listening to a radio station?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah.
And they're not in a signal area.
So they're not in a signal area. But they're listening to a radio station on the signal area. They've come into KPFA via the Internet. Or they've come into BAI via the Internet. So I think we can ask them to identify themselves by the station that they're listening to on the Internet so that their voting rights can be exercised through that station.
To have at-large members is such a huge issue.
I mean, I go to the Internet. I actually listen to PFW and BAI and T and K on the Internet sometimes. So that I don't see a problem. Just ask them where they're listening.
Okay. I want to, if I could just call myself for a second, I want to raise a few questions, a few concerns. One is that the minimum of $25. I think it's not a lot of money for many, many people in this country. But for some people, and for some of the people that we most are concerned that we're reaching out to and getting, getting them listening to the station, connecting to the station, that actually might be a significant amount of money. So I don't have a particular dollar amount to offer here, but, I think it should be lower, actually. The other thing is that, quick things. One is, actually, I think Susan Silver raised this yesterday, that on the staff members, it says, right now it says, any non-management permanent paid employee of a Pacifica radio station. And I don't know I think it would have to come in here, that we have to lay a foundation here, if we agree with the suggestion she was raising, that perhaps management people should be able to vote, not necessarily run, but be able to cast a vote. That we have to make that, I think we have to lay the foundation for that in this section here. The other thing I just want to say is in the waiver of the requirements, I'm sorry I don't have specific language to offer on this. I agree that there's something about setting this up as, first of all, as financial hardship. It pushes a button in me, anyway. I don't know about anybody else. It makes the way it's spoken about here is that, first of all, you have to come and ask for you have to say, I don't have money, I'm broke, I want a waiver because of my financial hardship. It can be, and for many, many people in this country, that is a very humiliating experience. Mm-hmm. And we shouldn't ask people to jump through hoops that way. So, I'm sorry I don't have other language to offer here, but we should make it clear, I think what the trick is here, the challenge is, to find a way to have the broadest definition of connecting to the station, right? Whatever it is you're doing, whatever contribution you're making, in terms of a little bit of time or a little bit of money or a lot of time and a lot of money, whatever, to have that so that people don't have to jump through hoops to feel and to express their connection. Mm-hmm. Again, I'm sorry I don't have particular language to offer, but I do hope that I and maybe other people can work with me to put in some language that basically, it's trying to do the same thing that I think is communicated here in point D, but that uses different language to make it happen. Carol?
Going back to the issue that Jabari raised philosophically, we have to have some way of identifying people who care about these stations. Mm-hmm. They care about it. They can demonstrate that caring through money or time. They can't demonstrate it through listening to the radio. I don't think. They cannot demonstrate that they care about the station. They can't demonstrate it through all the other work, good work they do in the world, if they're not helping to support the station somehow. Time or money. Time or money. Those are the two things that we can make a list of the people who have done it and be certain who they are. And it's just, to me, it doesn't seem particularly arduous or asking people to jump through hoops to contribute a minimum amount that's either $25 or 3 hours of their time over a period of a year to show a commitment to the station. If they can't do either one, then I think they're entitled to a hardship just simply by our waiver, by contacting the local board and saying, I want to be a member. I'm committed to the station. Please grant me a waiver. But we've got to be careful here because there is another countervailing value. And that is the religious right in this country could send tens of thousands of people in to say, I want to be a member of Pacifica. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I want to elect your board, and I want to start running Rush Limbaugh on Pacifica and take over the network. We have to define a membership based on something that says, I care about Pacifica.
Okay, we need to take a 30-second break. Okay, we need to take a minute break so they can change the CDs. And I have to go
late. To our listeners in KPFK land, there will be a moment of silence in memory of all those of you who are unable to join us today.
So that this definable is the fundamental difference between the number and activity that can be demonical that is seen by everybody, staff, management, and other members. Wait a minute, I got to go to the bathroom. I like the last part where you said about right now. Saying something, yeah. But let me say this to you, I'm really getting better with listening to you and opening up my head to some of the things you're talking about. And I'm like, James, I see a catch 22 with whatever this is you're saying, where it seems like you got to be a member. You got to be volunteering to be a member. And to be a member, you got to be volunteering. You know what I'm saying? But I'm saying, listen, we spent 30 minutes on this. Excuse me.
It's based on here are your criteria of activity. Here the accepted criteria.
Now, Jabari, you've read this
You don't know the issue, no. The subject doesn't say anything about requiring.
Okay, we're on again.
Okay, folks. We have to select.
Okay, can we get back to order? Order, order. Hello. Hello. This is the power of the chair. Folks, hello. We really need to get back to order here. I need everyone's help. I need everyone's help. We need to start again. Folks, if we can take our seats. And I had David next, and then Ray, and then Janice. Janice, better hurry. Okay, but you gotta go, David.
Thank you. Dave Furtick, KPFK. The issue again, accountability of listeners. There's a lot of proposals going around. Some saying that everyone should have to put in a few hours of work. Some saying that that. There should be no monetary, threshold that someone has to, reach in order to become a member. The problem with having only hours put into the station, quote unquote, as a test for membership. I mean, the issue is how do you establish a demonstrated commitment to the mission of Pacifica? And when I was with People's College of Law for like 18 years on the board there, but for 15 of those years, I performed a lot of interviews for admissions. And the question was, demonstrate a commitment to progressive social change. And so you interview people and you talk to them, and then over the years you see how these people play out in terms of what they do. And it's an interesting thing how effective people can be rhetorically in terms of claiming to be an adherent to something and not be, and others who are very inarticulate, but nonetheless demonstrate that commitment. So I'm concerned that, people are saying, well, that the money or that the time really establishes your commitment. It doesn't. And there, I think, has to be a leap of faith at one point or another. I think there also has to be a certain leap of faith, frankly, notwithstanding the perils of the radical right being far more organized than any part of the left. I hate to admit that. But that I think, nonetheless, we did rescue Pacifica without a lot of these safeguards we're putting in here. And we managed that. I dare say we could do it again with these safeguards even more readily. I think we have to trust ourselves and our community to be able to do that, to make that leap of faith. Having said that, I'll just comment quickly. I mean, I think that the $25 thing, if someone were to propose a $10 limit and then have waivers, I can live with that. I don't think that any of this is really earth-shaking. It's important, but I don't think the number is that critical. One comment relative to the use of hours as a sole threshold for establishing commitment to Pacifica. And I was just talking to somebody about this. If we have 17,000 members in KPFK land, and hopefully we have about 20,000 now, I think, after the last fund drive, to engage each of these individuals, or at least let's say three-quarters of them, 3 hours work, that's like 45,000 hours of volunteer work on top of the regular paid and unpaid staff that has to be coordinated and accounted for. That's a monumental task. And then it'll end up being, well, I went to a three-hour meeting. and that qualifies me. Well, I dare say any meeting at KPFK, in the KPFK signal area, if it doesn't last 3 hours, then there must have been a fire in the building. So, you know, I don't see that that would be a particularly effective test. And I think it would be an onerous burden upon the staff and otherwise not practical. As for the management voting, I think, sure, a manager should be able to vote whether or not as a staff member or as a listener. I think a staff member, obviously, because the provision, I think, has also been discussed that if you're qualified as either a listener or a staff member, then you vote as a staff member. And that gets to the issue that Rob raised earlier. If a volunteer qualifies as staff that they can elect, well, I think that that's probably, you know, problematic. If you let people choose whether to vote as staff or a volunteer, they should, I think, if they do the work, they should be within the staff cadre.
I have Ray and Janet.
Yeah, just with to support what Dave just said in terms of management being involved, instead of every listener. Once we have defined who is allowed to vote, that management would definitely not be denied the right to vote. I also support what Leslie says. You know, the way the language is written here, it seems to define the waiver through the hardship. And I'm looking for the page there. Almost as though the other sections are subsection of hardship. I'm very concerned that we don't put people, again, in a position where they feel humiliated. My experience is that in practice, we're worrying about keeping the gate in control and that most people are not trying to rush that gate anyway, and that people who are committed to listen to the station would comply. I know there's some language we'll be discussing about allowing people to, using some of the spirit of what the WPFW proposal had been before. I don't see it here, but that allow, the WPFW, I remember, did not set an amount of money or time, if I remember properly.
Then you can't have a definition. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, it would mean that there would be, it would be a flexible amount. It would not be, it could be less than 25.
Okay.
It would be what the individual, it would be a dollar. That's, okay, it would be a minimum of a dollar if you want or not. It would be left to the individual to contribute. So, within that spirit, what I'm suggesting is that we include, for example, the ability for an individual to contribute in the future rather than do it previous to being admitted as a member. So there would be an arrangement where an individual could contribute time and or money in the future.
Okay. I have Janice, Carol, Jabari.
I sort of agree with what Ray is saying about the contribute in the future. I was going to say that we need to make a specific change to lower the minimum amount to $10, and that we need to take out the words hardship and downtrodden from our lexicon here. And we need to, because there are some people who, let's say, can distribute folios or do other things that show a commitment. So we just, that's a volunteer. And so I think we can say LSBs may choose to waive the gift of volunteer requirement for membership.
Yes.
Period. You know, where the proposed member has demonstrated an interest in becoming a member.
Yes.
And that takes care of it.
If I could just jump in for a second. Somebody, Donna, actually passed me some language on that. A local station board may choose to adjust the amount of the gift requirement for people who cannot either contribute $25 or volunteer time. In other words, instead of saying lower, to say adjust the amount.
Mm-hmm.
That's one way to rework the waiver part. Okay, I'm sorry. I have Carol, Jabari, David.
Ambiguity invites lawsuits. I am really, I'm very concerned about this. There are hard decisions to be made. Not making them by saying, well, let's leave it mushy so we don't know who a member is and who isn't a member, means that somebody can come and challenge our election and say, I qualify to be a member, but you didn't send me a ballot, and I'm challenging your election, and you denied my rights. Let's be clear. $10, $25, I don't care. Let's say what it is, and say that on an individual basis, the local board may grant membership, waive the requirements and grant a member.
Period.
But, you know,
Don't get mushy on us.
Okay, good. Jabari and then David.
Jabari's again.
Cell phone.
It's me, Jabari.
Who's calling? It's one of our techies. Yeah, go on. I'm sorry, I have Jabari, David, and a James.
This is a point of information.
Yeah.
Can we ask that the telephone be put on vibrate?
Yeah, I'm sorry, in case anybody didn't hear that. Can you either just turn off your phones altogether or put them on vibrator or whatever?
That's a serious sacrifice.
Can we just pass out vibrators? Anyway.
Okay.
We're going to withdraw.
Okay, now we're getting serious stuff. Now we can do it.
We needed that, Jabari.
Okay, we have Jabari and then David.
I think my point really... I think it was missed. What I would like to see is a generic definition of member and not have all the categories of members be tied exclusively to radio operations. I can envision if we choose to actually create a vibrant foundation where people who might want to be involved with national fundraising but have no direct relationship to any station should be considered based on their activities to be considered and allowed to be quote members of the foundation without having the foundation being solely defined as the province of the radio activities. That's my concern, that we need to create a definition of members that isn't totally and exclusively defined with radio operations, philosophically, so that other areas of activities can be, in the future, acknowledged as a basis for being a member.
Its components. Let's just get David.
Well, that raises another issue, and again, it gets to the slippery or difficult issue of at-large membership. If someone's doing work under the aegis of the national office, for example, in fundraising, I don't see that it's a big problem for them to say, yeah, and I'll claim membership with X station, or any of the five stations. I don't think that's a complication. I think we're looking for problems in that issue. I do think, though, and I'll revisit something. The issue of having somebody, and I'm not sure that this belongs in the bylaws, but I think the members as defined is relatively sound. We can tweak it a bit, but what concerns me again, is the issue of accountability and how do we have a listener become a sponsor? How does the sponsor become a member? And is there a difference between the two? And I submit that there is, and I think a person, I hear a show, I go, oh, this sounds great, I want to get that thing on the premium, I send in my money, automatically I'm a voter. I haven't even read the mission. I don't know nothing about it. So I dare say it would be advisable and worthwhile for a couple of reasons to send out, and again, I'm not talking about a loyalty oath, but merely a document which says, here is Article 2 of the Articles of Incorporation. This is the mission of Pacifica. If you wish, you are now qualified to become, by your purchase, you become a sponsor. You are now qualified to become a voting member. This is the mission. Please acknowledge that that you received this, and then check off this box and send it back, and you will now be a voting member. That, and then, by the way, also you promise to keep us advised of your mailing address or whatever. That way, it's incumbent upon the voter member to keep us apprised. They've acknowledged their desire and intent to commit to becoming an informed voter of Pacifica, and they promise to keep us posted. Because as Carol mentioned, someone doesn't get their ballot, they're going to say, "Hey, this wasn't fair." So, well, we didn't get update, blah blah blah, and you committed to provide us with updated contact data, and you read the mission and acknowledged it. I think it's a small price to pay, and frankly, it will, in fact, reduce the amount of votes. That's true, because for two reasons. A, people will say, no, I don't really want to get involved in the political stuff, and I just want to, get my tapes and what have you and move on. Or B, people are going to say, well, it's just too much of a hassle. I don't have to sign this thing off. I think it's okay. I think we should do that. I'm not sure that it's a bylaws issue, but I think it's a valuable process.
Let me just put forth the language also that some folks put together during the break about the definition of membership. This is the language. Listener-sponsored members shall be any natural person who, within the preceding 12-month period, has made or agreed to make a financial or volunteer service contribution to any Pacifica radio station. So you're not putting specific dollar amounts or hour amounts or anything like that in there.
Ambiguity is a refuge of scoundrels.
And again, but there is the ambiguity problem that Carol raises. So, but I do want to put that out. That's another way to go here. Okay, Carol. And then
the law
James.
Requires us to maintain a list of our members. So how are we going to make that list? We have a list of all of our donors because when they send in their money, they get on a list. The station volunteer coordinator is going to have to keep a list of all the people who come in and volunteer. Computer's going to have to sort it out so that they're not duplicates. Now, how do we keep a list of who's agreed to volunteer in the future? How do we keep... I think on a pledge basis, our fund drives are on-air pledges. And when a person fulfills their pledge, that's when they become the member and they get on the list. Why are we making this? Why are we doing this? In fact, why have we spent an hour and a half on this when we have about 10 hours to get through this whole bylaws? And this is costing us thousands of dollars.
Okay, I'm sorry, I'm not sure. James.
I concur with the language that they drafted during the break, but I think there needs to be some symbolic amount like $1. So I would just say add $1. It would be like a par value.
Okay, $1. So where are we?
All right. Why don't you call for a vote on that?
On which?
$1 or $1?
Just some minimum.
No, it's fine.